This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
John Thornley.
Alison Tilden.
And Jane Dalton.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, John, we're here to talk about your time with the WEA, which is what, or was what?
Well, that stands for the Manawatu Workers Education Association.
Okay.
And I picked up a role in that around about 1985, mm-hmm. when it was revived by the work of a former councillor, well known in the city, Mervyn Hancock. He's now mm-hmm. passed away.
So revived, so it had been here?
Yes, it was in New Zealand in 1915, but more particularly in the four main centres. And if there were meetings under WEA in the 20s, and there's some record of that, it could be a visiting lecturer coming up from Wellington. Yeah. Or there may have been some small activities in the 20s, but it really died away, and it was Merv's vision to revive it.
So what were the origins? Were it a New Zealand idea?
Well, of course, the origins of WEA are in England and the United Kingdom. The Workers' Education Association was a major movement. It would have formed at the end of the 19th century, I think, okay. to bring yeah. learning opportunities to those who left school at age 11 and 12. They were working class people.
Okay.
Though I don't think now we have any working class.
Yeah. So you would have had visiting speakers. Was that the general structure, or it was?
Some of the learning was by an upfront speaker, and others the learning came from the members themselves.
Okay. And this is what you did here in Palmerston North?
In Palmerston, the funding issue has always been difficult for our sector. It was a part-time position, which I did for about 10 years, up until the mid-90s.
Okay. So where did the funding come from?
Mixture of government sources from the Ministry of Education with an allocation for adult learning. Mm. Sometimes it came through the universities.
Okay.
Sometimes some of it came from Queen Elizabeth College had tutor hours.
Oh,
the
yeah.
classes
was
in the evening.
Night school sort of.
Yes, and we got we tapped into some of that those funds.
Mm. So you were at QEC, the classes in the evening there? Or?
No, our classes were held more in the city of Main Street and the square. Yeah. That mm. you been there, remember that?
Yes.
Two-storey building.
Yes.
And then at the Open Learning Centre, who had rooms in the city, moving as many of these non-formal groups, so the building's being redeveloped by a developer and they can no longer have right. space at a low rental and they move yeah. elsewhere.
Okay.
In our city, Annette Nixon, also a councillor, she was very active in the Open Learning Centre, which had a focus okay. on literacy work and numeracy work.
So what was the connection between WEA and Open Learning?
There was no organisational connection, more just you network with similar agencies okay. to support. We support each other.
And as the workers' education, there was a union link originally in the UK? Was there still a
yes,
union
link? Yes, the union
link
was very important. And I know when Mervyn called together some people to discuss setting up a WEA, union reps were consulted and attended. But about similar time, there was the Trade Union Education Authority running learning on the workplace for workers. In some ways, the learning WEA's offer is a little bit more, from the point of view of people in the workplace, we could be seen as a bit abstract, academic a little.
Okay.
But we did, and Mer was very insistent, have a focus on helping adults appreciate the economic and social and political environment we were in.
Okay.
So economic learning. And this is the period we went through privatisation under Roger Douglas and the Labor government led by David Lange. Mm. And there was a very strong resistance from those who treasure public ownership, the public sector. So we would organise panels on the restructuring of the power boards, and I would get Brian Easton from Wellington would come up any time and talk on these platforms and defend the public ownership. But we would have on the same panel some of the bosses or managers of these private, working towards private energy companies. So we had both parties were being represented. So they were very lively.
You had me talking sometimes. I can't remember the topic.
Yes. No, you know, that you well, it touches on an important point that having the campus was a supply of potential speakers.
Yeah.
Those who took it upon themselves to come across the river.
So were you structured as courses or a series of seminars or one-off talks on various topics?
More courses, a series rather than in a one-off. We had a series on introduction to Islam, which was organised with the Muslim. Now, this is about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and we organised it with the Muslim Association, and they provided the speakers, and we set up the venue and did the promotion. And they were very well filled.
Okay.
30 to 40 people.
Okay.
At lunchtime talks.
Oh, so lunchtime rather than evening, or did
both.
It vary?
We have both.
Okay.
And some of our events are held in the daytime as well.
So who would attend?
The people attending WEA would be a mix of people whose household duties freed up the day. Most of those would be women, but a few men would be caring for their kids. Unemployed people, retired people.
Hmm.
Now that's a significant sector. I only saw the issue of intolerance coming from the floor. I think I might, whoever was chairing it, you have to have, this is the one I'm talking about, the Muslim series, in which someone wanted to suggest that the Christian faith was somehow there was something less or different or wrong about Islam. They were on the wrong path.
Mm.
Now, that was, if that could have been allowed to go on, it would destroy the whole tenor of the meeting, which was full of a willing openness to learn. Yeah. So that person was quieting down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have membership? Did you have to belong?
That was one source of our income, was to have membership. And in reply for taking out an annual membership, it wouldn't be a lot. It might have been $25 or $40 a year. People got brochures. We did quarterly brochures according to the season of the year, summer, autumn, winter. Little fold-up, A4 sheets folded up, showing that we were planning well ahead. So, yes, we did have membership. But people were free to come and go, and many individuals would only come if the topic interested them.
Just all ages?
All ages were welcome, but the bias would be towards the older people, older persons.
So how far would that have fitted the original mould in the UK? Was that more for union members? Or?
Well,
given the name, workers' education.
Yes, I think it would have that broad coverage, and would possibly have stronger links to the union. See, the Trade Union Education Authority, I've already mentioned this, ran their own courses. And unionists would certainly promote some of the economic talks, and their members would come to those. Some of the issues around public versus private ownership would certainly attract workers, and they did.
Okay.
Another big series, because what are we talking about, 1985 through to 95, the bicultural journey, respect for the treaty. It was all coming in around this time. And we had an outstanding speaker, head of Maori studies, Mason Dury.
Oh, he was brilliant.
And Mason, now we took a council room that's now gone. It was under the city council, or part of the city council rooms in town. It's now occupied. They restructured their buildings, but then
it was in the square
hall.
Itself, is it?
Not in the square, and that's another place we sometimes used. No, where the present buildings are, there was a hall. It's now gone. Okay. But we attracted up to 100 people.
That's good.
Well, Mason was outstanding. Yes. But other Maori speakers have spoken on our panels. Mm. I remember once I chased up a Maori leader from down Otaki Way, and they were very generous, these people, because they've got their own iwi developed issues, their own people to. Mm. And he jokingly said as he started, "You know that bloke Thornley, he's very insistent on getting we people along." That's okay.
Yeah, I remember you as a major driving force in WA. You were the only paid person, the one doing all the organisation.
Yes.
That's it.
But I had a committee of six or eight people, and we met monthly, monthly to plan meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Annette Nixon. There was Ronnie Fitzmaurice. Mm. She's a former councillor. She was very, very active. One gets a high profile because you have to promote everything in the newspapers, and that's a sad comment that we've lost the community papers like Tribune and Guardian. The Tribune's gone. Local history
is
another topic.
Okay.
And a great memory of the old library and Margaret Tate, who was a lecturer in education, and she spoke to a film that had been made. Oh, actually, she wrote the script for this film she spoke in the library, and we showed this film. Ian Johnston, who knows his folk music, he provided some music, and it was a history particularly of the timber milling and the stagecoach years of stagecoach travel and early Palmerston buildings, early Palmerston people. And that attracted, I think this is before the age of people having their own home cinema. Home cinemas.
Oh, yes.
The explosion of technology, which privatizes
Streaming
our lives.
Videos and,
So we would fill the library with 80 to 100 people to see that film. And Margaret repeated it twice. It was a great fundraiser.
Yeah, I remember seeing some local history films several years after I came, and coming from overseas and being at the university. Most of the people you see are people who've recently arrived. And to see a film showing people talking about their families settling here 100 years earlier and so on
was
an eye-opener, really.
Yeah. It is pretty special, yes. Now, the other person who contributed enormously, well, there are two people, but one in particular. Both were education lecturers, Brian Mather and the man who did the brick kiln history. Goodness, my memory is going badly on me here. But Brian Mather had people working on histories of suburbs, and street by street he did his own research of newspaper files.
Yeah, Gary O'Neill.
Now, the other one I'm thinking of will come back sometime.
Not the brick kiln, but doing the
well,
we recorded him last week.
Yes. Now, this man, I wrote the book on the history of the brick kilns, and after lecturing at education, he went out and had a farm, a small property up Ashurst. He's passed away now. Brian's also passed away. But what occurred in recent years is the breakup of adult learning into different specialist fields.
Mm.
See, the WA was very ambitious. We covered everything and anything. I remember looking at the future of genetic engineering.
Yeah.
and gene modification.
So were you in a way competing with the union education, or that was more trade related?
That was more practically oriented to the shop floor issues, salaries, work conditions, the rights to holidays.
Okay.
Really,
so
down to earth.
Practical stuff.
Practical stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying the splitting up into Royal Society, U3A came along, Rotary clubs all developed the formula, the model of keynote speaker, often associated with a luncheon.
But they'd been around for a long time.
The
Rotary clubs,
the service clubs have been
30,
around
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's new groups. Yeah. Emerging, who follow that same formula.
But there was you were operating at the time that the night, like you mentioned, QEC night schools were very strong then, and they've largely disappeared or shrunk right back, haven't they?
Well, under the period of the former national government, 9 years, they reserved a little funding for the night schools to allow them to continue. But they cut back those night class programs, sometimes on fallacious grounds that what's the use of people learning embroidery? What's the use of people becoming experts in Asian cookery? Well, actually, you never know when a school of this nature can enhance people's confidence and lives.
Yeah.
And some of those people who start tutoring the night classes go on themselves, further education.
Yeah. Well, that's like the debate, what's the value of humanities?
That's a big debate. We didn't have that question.
You've done
question.
That.
We didn't look at that one. anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you, I did one thing that really stunned Mervyn.
Yeah.
I have a very keen interest in the arts, especially music and popular music. And in May, when was the date? May something or other. I've got it on this. I was doing a bit of research. Okay, on May 11, 1981, I erected a tent in the square.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tape deck. And it was marking 1981. He died. Oh, that's Bob Marley died in 1981. I think it must have been 1991. Yes, I was in the middle of WEA. In 1991, I wanted to mark 10 years since. See, I lived in the Trinidad for 3 years.
Okay.
I lived in the West, in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the context out of which Bob Marley's music came.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this tent up, and I had a booklet I made up, which I gave away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Merv thought it was quite what WA should be doing, but it was an interesting experience. And I've gone on sharing my music.
Yeah, because you've done a lot with that.
Done a lot of that. I still do talks in the library.
Yeah. What got you into WEA in the first place?
Good question. I think I would have gone to WEA conferences. They had conferences over in summer in different parts of the country, usually in the main centre. So I was going to a national conference.
So it was very big in the other centres?
It founded the books club. The book club scheme was founded by WEA in Christchurch. And now they're all over New Zealand, but they're not all operated under WEA. There are different. The book clubs can take different formats. But our scheme, the WEAs, could provide box sets of, 20 copies of To Sir With Love or whatever. And everyone, you would get a box set to you and you would distribute those books around and then everyone would read them. Other book clubs work on other schemes that people just share a book they've been reading.
Mm.
But it's still strong and strongly being organised through Christchurch. No, the WEAs are very, very weak now. Very weak.
Yeah.
There may be because the other question is the finding volunteers.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now, but you said you got into it, and then he said, "Well, you went to the conferences. Then I yes. distracted you. So you went to the conferences, and then Merv said, you can run it."
Well, Merv had always come from a strong social justice concern and issues, but I think he also see the person I really have to thank for my career, life career, is my wife Gillian. My wife Gillian went to work, and I looked. I was a house husband, but the kids are quite young, and.
And what? Okay, that now that's quite unusual for that time.
So it wasn't, yes. Perhaps I was a trailblazer a little, though it's become more common now because perhaps women might find paid work more easy to get. Yeah. Some men have problems.
They often earn more than their husband.
It's very true if they're well trained. But having Gillian, she was 20 years lecturing at Massey in the maths department, and. I just really did a series of part-time jobs. Like I was teaching at Hatopara College, St. Paul's, the Maori Boys' School out at Cheltenham. That was an interesting experience.
Yeah. And so you sort of stumbled across it, really. It just happened and it seemed like a good thing to do at the time.
Yeah, well, there wouldn't be too much competition for the sort of. I mean, it was very serious.
I suppose it paid a great deal. And the career path.
There was no career path, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, so I'm really a liberated male, partly having a wife who was willing to allow me to do that.
So you were caring for young children, preschool children?
No, Gillian had time out in Wellington. We were in Wellington, and she was very fortunate to get back into lecturing after having a break. But she's a very good teacher, and they have a strong teaching. The extramural program at Massey meant they needed solid teachers, and she was sensible enough not to keep up with the publish and be damned.
and she left before that pressure got.
Well, if you're in the area of a very small branch of pure mathematics, there may be three people in the world you can talk to.
So did you, as it was somewhat unusual at that time. What was the social reaction to you not having a full-time job and doing a lot of the things with the children?
Oh, I don't know that. It's a woman who suffers further if she breaks into a dominantly male. I mean, the story of Jill sitting in her office and a student from Africa pops his head in and says, "Oh, I'm looking for Dr. Thornley." She just said, "I am Dr. Thornley." He almost fell over.
His
expectation was very surprised to meet a woman in
and
the
when,
chair.
When was
as
that?
A lecturer. This was in the 1980s.
That was brilliant.
But because I worked mainly with women in the adult learning sector. After that position, I was with the Community Services Council. And that was partly paid by the City Council.
And that was
that's the network of all the voluntary groups. This book was put out.
What's that called? Sharing Our Stories, Palmerston North Community Services Council. 1971 to 1965.
That's a great repository of archival history of the key voluntary groups in the mid-80s, late 80s.
It doesn't say and who all, wrote it.
All the photo. Yes, it's got authorships there.
Oh, I see. Each individual
there
group
was some essence
has its
at the
own
end,
contribution.
The one by Ian Ritchie. And
now, Ian Ritchie, he was
he had a lot to do with small farming.
Small-time
farmers. And all the photographs were taken by David Lupton. Now, David Lupton does the photos of the history of the sculptor of our city. He was a big boy. Who's the famous sculptor?
Paul Dibble.
Paul, yes. David Lupton did all the photographs of that. He's a very fine photographer.
And I see at the back of this Sharing Our Stories is a postscript, which is a poem from you, Winter Solstice in the Square, John.
Yes, I'm a poet as well.
Ah. And you have a strong interest in music.
Yes, yes, that's surprising.
Busy
boy. Yeah. Well, you had the freedom and flexibility.
Well, yes, I'm a Renaissance man, aren't I?
you feel very fortunate compared to those career men.
I have never specialised.
Yes.
In a very narrow vein, I've been. But broadly, I'm in the arts, humanities.
Yes.
I mean, although I...
Should we say you multitasked, or is
well,
that...
Well, I'm not very... Yes. The irony is that I married a mathematician, and my mother was a mathematician.
Yeah.
And she went through Auckland University. Now, in those days, that was very unusual. Now, a woman would be doing maths in my mind.
Well, not just that, but Prue Hyman, who wrote a book on feminist economics, New Zealand Perspective, I think it was called. Jan Whitwell at Massey was an economist with a strong mathematical bent. And I remember sitting next to her at one session when Prue Hyman was saying what feminist economics was, and Jan turned to me, and because she was doing mathematical modelling and stuff, she said, well, according to Prue, I'm not actually a woman.
Yes, I remember Jan. Yes, she was married to her.
Your wife would have approved of your choice of wife. Your mother would have approved of your choice of wife.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Of course, they were very, very proud of Gillian. Pretty special person. Mm. But the challenge now to get people to volunteer. Mm. You know how to, I mean, the Friends of the Library scheme partly faded away because, as Larry Hayes would say, we had great trouble finding new people. Mm. Actually, this is a spot for me to say what a great job Anthony Lewis did.
Mm. Yeah, as librarian.
Community activities on the premises.
Yeah.
He really continued some of the talks and the WA used to hold.
There was some good development in that.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.